You were one of the first performers to include children in your songs, to sing for them, to record for them. First, I guess, on original 78 recordings with Oscar Brand, on recordings with Folkways Records.
Actually, singing for children is the way I got started. I was very, very broke, and some relatives were school teachers. They said, well, if you'll come sing some songs to the kids in my class, I can get all of $5 for you. It seemed like stealing what I'd always done for the fun of it, but I took the money and stopped looking for an honest job. I have an older brother who once pointed out to me how lucky I was to make a living at what I love to do. Very few people, he said, can do this. Throughout my life, I've enjoyed singing for schools. I still do it.
I read somewhere where you were talking about your songs and how your goal was to really not have people listen to your records as much as to learn the songs and to sing them themselves.
Absolutely. Really, if you think of trying to judge how musical a nation is, you would judge it not by the music that comes out of loudspeakers or even the music that comes off of stages. It would be the music that people make for themselves. The loudspeaker has intimidated a lot of people. I think it's important to realize that a lot of the songs we sing were not written by one person. One person may have started it off, but other people added to it and changed it. And that's normal and natural and good.
So sometimes you can get away with things in music that you can't otherwise get away with.
This is true. Music is not quite as threatening as plain speaking can be.
You have an album called Dangerous Songs, but of course it has an exclamation point and a question mark. Do you feel there are dangerous songs?
Well, it all depends on your opinion. A child that wants to stay awake looks upon a lullaby as a dangerous song. I don't want to go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
I want to stay awake.
Well, you've always sung songs that have been on the edge. I mean, a lot of the songs that you sing about have gotten you in trouble. Weren't you supposed to do a show on the Hootenanny Show?
That's right. In 1964, they wouldn't let me on. It wasn't just the song that was dangerous. They felt I was dangerous. Well, the blacklist, I shouldn't laugh about it. It was a terrible thing. Some people had their lives ruined by the blacklist. It didn't hurt me. I went and sang for schools and camps. It didn't matter to me that I was kept off TV. When I'm singing for children, there are some songs I would not sing. But it's important that I am the person to make this decision.
There are things that need to be said in songs. There are things that need to be said in stories and in books.
Oh, you bet.
That when it comes to mass culture, I mean, I think this is something that you once wrote many years ago about the kinds of things that get put out in popular culture versus the folk songs or the things that sort of exist around the fringes of society. You know, Thoreau once said if the only birds that sang in the forest had perfect voices, the woods would be silent. And I think a lot of times that there's a real desire to make everybody smooth, to make everybody...
You're absolutely right. This is one reason I fell in love with folk music 50 years ago, was that I loved the unexpected things in it. There was power, and there was protest, and jokes. And I said, this is so much more exciting than the usual stuff I hear on the radio. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
If there was tragedy, it was real tragedy, not just a sentimentality. And if there's humor, often it was humor with teeth. Pop songs tend to, as you say, get smoothed out not to cause offense to anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
You have to be careful about being too cautious in this world.
Are you still writing songs?
I don't write them very often. Once in a while, I get an idea for a song.
Yeah. Have you been approached to sell one of your songs for a commercial?
Quite often.
What songs have been used?
Turn, 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 more than any other. But If I Had a Hammer has also been used.
Now, for what commercials?
Well, way over in England, they wanted to sell a cup of tea. If I Had a Cup of Tea.
Huh.
Use the tune of If I Had a Hammer. This Land Is Your Land. By Woody Guthrie was used by United Airlines once.
How come whenever I see that song, This Land Is Your Land, I never see the whole part of the song?
They only recorded three verses. In those days, they had 78 RPM records.
Ah.
Room for more verses. Perhaps that was the reason. Or there might have been other reasons. Two extra verses. One bright sunny morning by the shadow of the steeple. by the relief office, I saw my people as they stood there hungry. I stood there whistling. What did he whistle? This land
was made for you and me.
Was a great high wall there that tried to stop me. Was a great big sign there.
Said private property.
But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That side was
made for you and me.
This land is your land.
This land is my land.
Fellow in Chicago wrote, this land is your land, but it once was my land. Before we sold you Manhattan Island, you pushed our nations to the reservations. This land was stole by you from me. Let's hope that young people will like to sing and carry these songs of yours and mine and other people wherever they go and teach them to their children. Who knows? If we do our job right, there'll still be people singing hundreds of years from now and still be good air to breathe and good water to drink.
Thank you again for joining us, Pete. It's been a pleasure. My name is Barry Lewis Polisar, and you've been listening to me speak with Pete Seeger. Thank you for joining us.